Hello, welcome to Spotlight, beaming like a summer sun of artiness.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Tonight, we head to the Erin Arts Centre to hear of some exciting developments and latest happenings ahead of this year's Mananin Festival, about which more next week. The Guild might be over for another year, but we have one last chance to hear this year's Cleveland Medal winner. And do you have any exciting artistic ideas bubbling away inside you but don't know how to turn them into reality? Well, get yourselves down to the Villa Marina tomorrow. Speaking of which, have you ever fancied playing the mighty Wurlitzer? If so, stay tuned. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. You know the list. Poetic, theatrical, musical, literary, it goes on. Ceramic, drag, film. Just get in contact. Spotlight@maxradio.com. Howard Kane@maxradio.com. I look at both, I read both. Get in contact, love to hear from you. Now, one of the highlights of the artistic year gets underway down the south of the island at the Erin Arts Centre in a few weeks' time. That's the Mananin Festival of the Arts. We'll hear much more about that in next week's show. But when I dropped down to the EAC a day or two back, Artistic Director Pip Rolfe was keen to tell me about another exciting development at the centre and also a wonderful exhibition currently on display in the gallery.
The pupils and staff of Russian Primary School have put together a fantastic, colourful and joyous celebration of the RNLI. There are drawings, writing, little models and a fantastic 3D model of, well, Port Erin Bay, basically, with surfers and swimmers and people fishing, and it's just a glorious piece of work. And I've sort of thanked them in writing, but I'd just like everyone to hear on the radio. I mean, it's when staff and pupils and, you know, the community sort of pulls together, it's great to see. What can be achieved, and it's a real testament to the pupils and the efforts of the staff who've pulled it all together. It's a really fine piece of work.
So, did you approach them, or did they approach you?
They were putting it in the school, and I think obviously they wanted to get it out of the school and get it seen by the wider public. So they approached us, and we had a little window just before the Mananin exhibition comes in. So we just jumped at the chance, really. Some of the classes had already contributed to the open exhibition, Otherworld, that we did around the time of Halloween. So we knew that the work was going to be great because all the Halloween stuff was great and great fun. And it's such a great show. Like I say, a real testament to them and their efforts. So well done.
Well done indeed. And just remind us, how long have people got to see that if they want to come and see that down here?
Oh, Howard, don't do that to me. I think it is up until, I'm going to say June the 17th, but you might have to look on our website.
Take that as a guideline.
Yeah, because you might have to look on the website.
Okay, full info. So round about June the 17th, but check if you're coming down, especially to come and see it. Well worth a view, but yeah, you haven't got that long. So check on the EAC website and you'll get the exact date there. We are heading towards the Mananin Festival. Is it a busy time in the run-up?
Yes, it is. We're just busy transforming the auditorium from a cinema, as it was last night. Well, we've got Ben Otwell, ex of the band Gomez, mighty voiced Ben Otwell, is doing two nights. And then we have the opera live from the New York Met on Sunday night. And then we've got a couple more events towards the end of May. And then I guess Mananin starts at June the 24th, so I've still got to wait. I mean it's sort of, I'm thinking about it, but we've still got a lot of things to go. We've still a long way to go before that starts.
And as I said at the beginning, it's sort of perhaps one of the events for of the year, I think, in the calendar, maybe for the Erin Arts Centre. For some, perhaps it's one of those events where they're sort of, the two are inextricably linked. If people think of the Mananin, they think of the Erin Arts Centre and vice versa.
Yeah, I think so. What's nice about it is that because it's such been such a long-running festival, there are sort of little threads of history that we can pick up and sort of tug on. So we've got Martin Roscoe is coming back this year. We've got the Brodsky Quartet. Martin Roscoe, of course, is a fantastic pianist who's played here before.
I think I've seen him here before, actually, yeah.
Well, and sharp-eyed observers might have seen his picture up in the bar. And it's nice to be able to sort of tug on those little threads and bring people back. The Brodsky Quartet have been here before. And I say they have just coming off the back of their 50th anniversary. So it'll be a real pleasure to have them back as well. But it's a really important part of our calendar. And I feel that we're sort of, it's nice to be able to include, like I say, things that have happened here, events that from the past, but also to feel like we're going forward and taking the festival forward, because there's some really exciting, I mean, there's always exciting bookings, but there's some really exciting stuff this year.
You just mentioned the pictures going up in the bar there, just to jog my memory of a couple of things. One, I was thinking, do they still go up? Because I know that the wall seems fairly full these days. Do you still do that as a tradition, put up a new artist goes up onto the Wall of Fame?
Well, it's something that's going to be resurrected, because we are looking as well at refurbishing the interior of the Arts Centre just to make the place a little bit more user-friendly and, you know, just improve the functionality a bit. So that's something we're definitely going to look at.
And I said the bar, the last time we were chatting earlier in the year, and you were in the process of something which I think had been on the cards for a while, of actually getting a licence so that the bar area here at the Erin Arts Centre would be licensed, and that has gone through.
Yes, it has, finally. So you can now come and have a gin and tonic with your opera and a beer with your Brecht and a whatever you like.
And that is the thing, isn't it? Because so often you go to any arts centre around the world, or any, you know, entertainment centre, or the Royal Opera House, or, you know, Covent Garden, whatever it might be, the bars there will be open. People will sort of be making an evening of it. It will be, you know, something to eat or something to, you know, a drink, a gin and tonic, something before the interval, etc., etc. It does make a difference for a lot of people.
Yeah, it definitely does. It's another string to our bow as well, and hopefully it'll improve our customers' experience, but also make us a little bit more attractive to, you know, prospective promoters who sort of see that we've got a beautiful venue, you know, and the bar and the gallery. So yeah, hopefully it'll do us well.
And are you seeing it as a sort of an alternative venue? Obviously, we've got the main hall here, the auditorium. We've got the gallery for exhibitions and some of the smaller groups there. Do you see, or are you intending to use the bar as a sort of small-scale performance area as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always had it in mind to create sort of two separate performance spaces here, just to make the whole building as versatile as possible. And I think there are maybe groups or sort of evenings or events that might balk at having to hire or fill the auditorium, but you get 20, 30 people in the bar area for, say, we have some poetry book nights already booked in, or say like an acoustic or open mic event, something like that. And, you know, you can fill it up, just open the bar, and then you've got a, you know, we could also have sort of drawing groups and, you know, I don't know, vinyl listening nights and, you know, just smaller events, the way that you can just use the bar as a separate, its own entity.
That's a terrific idea. I can see that being really popular going forward, so that's going to be terrific.
And if you want to see that fantastic work from the pupils at Rushen Primary School celebrating 200 years of the RNLI, well, the exhibition is open to the public until Friday the 14th of June. I know Pip was looking for that date. Friday the 14th of June is the last chance. The gallery open 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m, Tuesday to Friday each week, plus during showtimes, and entry is absolutely free.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Now, the Guild might be over for another year. What a glorious year it was. And whilst I know it's a little late, this is the first chance we've really had, due to the way things panned out, to mention the winner of the Blue Ribboned event of the festival, namely the Cleveland Medal, which this year won by the wonderful, well, Judith Leigh kept everyone waiting on the night.
The winner of this year's Cleveland Medal is just going to make you wait a little bit longer. I'm going to remind you of who it was who was singing, because this is the thing with these competitions. It is wide open. Everybody is at such a high standard. So the singers tonight who went back and reprised their programme that gave them a qualifying place, Emily Coates, Debbie Gooding, Matthew Quinn, Terry Qualtro, Lorcan O'Mahony, and the person who is taking home the Cleveland medal this year is baritone Neil Taverner. Huge congratulations to Neil and to everybody. Just a massive, massive thank you for the pleasure that your music has given us. Now, the qualifying pieces for these were own choice, but own choice with a certain limitation. And the own choice was that one of the pieces had to be by a female composer. And so we're going to listen to that piece now as we celebrate Neil Taverner's victory in the Sheffield Plate. And this is his piece called The Apple Orchard. And accompanied by Madeline Kelly, this is Cleveland Medal winner Neil Taverner.
Won't remember it. The apple orchard we wandered through one April afternoon, climbing the hill behind the empty farm. A city boy, I'd never seen a grove burst in full flower, or seen the bittersweet perfume of blossoms mingled with the dust. A quarter mile of trees in fragrant rows arching above us. We walked the aisle alone in spring's ephemeral cathedral. We had the luck, if you can call it that, of having been in love, but never lovers. The bright flame burning, fed by pure desire. Nothing consumed, such secrets brought to a moment, when I stood behind you, reached out to spin you toward me, but I stopped. What more could I have wanted from that day? Everything.
Neil, how does it feel to have won this medal tonight?
It's still a bit of an out-of-body experience, to be quite honest. I was far more together when I was on the stage, but my brain is not yet functioning correctly.
It's probably going to take a while just to come down and relax.
Several years, I think, actually.
Can you tell me just a little bit about the two song choices that you had this evening?
So I started with an opera aria. I just love opera. So this one's in French, which I happen to speak. So it kind of works for me, by Gounod from Romeo and Juliet. And then I did a song by an American composer called Laurie Lateman, which was only written in the last 20 years or so, which, again, I just fell in love when I heard it and decided this was the opportunity to do it.
So how long have you been coming to the Guild and taking part? That's the big question.
Well, that is a good question. It is very nearly 50 years, amazingly.
Wow.
So I was first here in the Royal Hall with the Balasala School Morris dance team when I think I was 9, and I'm now 58. So quite a while ago.
So I could tell you kind of gave up on the Morris dancing.
I gave up, fortunately, yep. Did give up on the Morris dancing. We did that for 2 years. But the second year was the first year I sang at the Guild. And Kath Cool, who was then a teacher at Ballasalla, persuaded me to enter the boys' solo. And then nothing for about 40 years until I took up solo singing again. So a big long gap.
Many congratulations to Neil. And also, of course, many congratulations to Brisha Kelsey, who took the win in the Sheffield Plate. All the organisers of this year's Guild, particularly Anne Clark for her work over the years, I believe it's their last year, our own Judith Lane Chris Quirk for first-class wall-to-wall or stage-to-stage coverage of the event. On to 2025. Now, if you've got a burning desire or artistic nugget in your head, but have always been too shy to go any further with it, or if you've ever fancied tinkling the ivories, the pedals, pulling out all the stops, well, maybe not all the stops, on the mighty Wurlitzer organ in the Villa Arcade, keep listening. This next piece is just for you.
Hi, I'm Ali. I am the Arts Engagement Officer for the Isle of Man Arts Development Team.
And we're down, just behind, actually, the Arts Council headquarters, in the sun. You! Not often we get to say that on this programme, but it is spotlight, so we're always looking for something to be in the sun. Arts Council, of course, are sponsors of the programme itself and are always super busy on the arts scene. And this is a chance coming up tomorrow evening, that's Thursday evening, or Thursday day, I should say, running into the evening, a chance to actually meet up with the Arts Development Team.
Yep, that's right. So from 12:30 till 6:30 at the upstairs gallery in the Villa Marina, myself and other members of the team will be on hand, available to chat to people about their projects or events or any creative ideas that they have. First-time applicants, but also students as well, looking to apply for a student bursary, as that closes at the same time as the funding round on the 21st of June. So, yeah, we've not done it before in the Villa Marina.
I was thinking that. Is it a new initiative?
It's on our doorstep. It's hopefully the weather will be nice. It's easy to park. And because we're going to be there till 6:30, you know, if people are at work, they can nip in straight after work and have a chat with us.
And we often say this. Is it a case of just trying to encourage people, even if they've just got an idea, like I sometimes have in the back of my mind for something, to say, look, you know, if you've got an idea there, the kernel of an idea, something artistic, whether it's a book, whether it's a film, whether it's a piece of artwork, a sculpture, whatever the case may be, poetry, come down, have a chat, and you never know what you might be able to do.
Absolutely. There's no, well, as far as I'm concerned, there's no bad creative idea. And if it's not something that the Arts Council can help fund, then we are certainly the people to talk to help you find who can help you. Within the creative community here, it's a very vast and knowledgeable community. And just talking to like-minded people as well. And I love meeting up with people and listening to their creative ideas. And it's just, it's a really great way of connecting with people as well.
And what about younger folk? You were saying sort of like students and such like. Can they come around if they're wanting to talk about maybe either bursaries or things for further study?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, the event is from 12:30 till 6:30. If you can't make it tomorrow, we're only at the end of the phone, so you can give us a ring on 694-598 to make an appointment to come and speak to one of the team, who'd be more than happy to chat to you about what you need to do to apply, what kind of things you're looking to study, or if you just need some help in general with creative studies as well.
And what do you get? I mean, over the years, obviously, the council have been supporting artistic endeavours for quite a few years on the Isle of Man now. And I know it's the 60th anniversary next year, so presumably for 60 years. And do you often see some of the same faces coming back with more ideas? So do you have sort of regulars, and are we trying to sort of expand it out into different areas of the community?
We get a massive mixed bag, which is great. So whenever we hold these events, I always come away feeling very happy that I've met people that I've never met before, never seen before in the creative community, and it's just surprising each time when we do hold these kind of events how many creative people there are on the island. It's just great. So it's a real mixed bag. So some repeat applicants come, because obviously they've got a new idea, because anybody who's creative obviously thinks of one thing and then something else comes along and they have an idea for something else. So, you know, we try and help people to develop their ideas a little bit further from, say, their original idea. And with, you know, they have a different plan or they've got a new idea or a new project. That's also great to talk about as well with them.
And do you sort of see, or have you seen over your years here, sort of, are certain types of art more popular than others, i.e. do you get more people coming in wanting to do, I don't know, collections of poetry or have the backing to try and bring out a novel or do an exhibition, something like that?
So our most popular applications that we do see are for travel grants, which we have taken into consideration. And so we launched the Domestic Travel Fund, which is like a rolling travel grant scheme, and you can apply to that at any time during the year. It always best if you can give us a little bit of notice, so I would say at least 2 to 3 weeks notice before you travel, or, you know, before you know that you're going to have to travel, and that has seemed to be our most popular one. But since we had COVID, we've just seemed to have exploded in all art forms, which is just incredible to see and really pleasing.
It is pleasing, and we always know it's been a creative island, but it's great when you actually get more people coming out and really, and that's the hardest part, I think, for some artists, is just sticking your head above the parapet and having that sort of, having that nerve to actually maybe have your first go at publishing a collection of poetry, or maybe doing your first exhibition or doing your first book or whatever the case may be. Lovely to see. So again, midday through until 6:30, Villa Marina Arcade. Tomorrow evening, that's Thursday the 16th. No, I'll get it right. Thursday the 16th. Tomorrow, anyway, after you've listened to this programme, Songs It's Not the Podcast, 16th. And just to remind us again, if people can't get down, best thing to do is what? Give you a ring, or?
Yeah, give us a ring on 694-598 or email us iomarts@gov.im and make an appointment, and one of the team will be able to help.
And while we're down here at the Villa Arcade in the sun, we're sitting only a matter of feet away from the mighty Wurlitzer at the top of the Villa Arcade. You've probably seen it. If you haven't heard it, then there's a chance coming up.
There is indeed. So next Tuesday, the 21st of May, if you wanted to come and play the mighty Wurlitzer, you can do for the very first time. It's an open day from 10 till 3 o'clock. If you wanted to have a go yourself, you need to make an appointment to do so. And in order to do that, you need to email our arts team administrator, Zoe. And her email address is zoe.shuttleworth@gov.im. But you can also give us a call on 694-598. And we've had quite a lot of interest so far. So if you're not able or you're not confident enough to come down and think, I want to have a go, come down and have a look and meet some other, you know, organ players or Wurlitzer players or piano players, and you think this is an incredible instrument, and just come and have a look.
So you don't need to be an experienced organist per se?
Not as far as I'm aware. No, you just need to be able to play. So read music, just be a little bit proficient in playing either, you know, keys mostly, and even if you just want to come down and have a bit of a skeet, there'll be lots going on.
And it does make an amazing sound. I know I've been to a couple of concerts, and yeah, I mean, quite literally all bells and whistles when it gets going. It's an incredible instrument. Is the arcade going to be open for anyone to listen to these these first-time players maybe of the organ?
Yeah, definitely. So it's open from 10 till 3 p.m. And that's like the start of our Arts in the Arcade summer season, which kicks off on Tuesday the 21st of May with this Wurlitzer open day. And then throughout the summer, there'll be regular concerts from the Wurlitzer, but also brass bands playing on a Tuesday and Thursday evening, and then the Wurlitzer concerts on a Wednesday afternoon. And the first of the brass band concerts is on the 11th of June, which is with the Castletown Metropolitan Silver Band. So there's just loads going on.
A quick blast on the Wurlitzer, wouldn't that be fun? Don't forget to get down there and meet the team as well. Have a chat. Remember, if you can't get there, get in touch with them to make an appointment. 694-598 or email iomarts@gov.im. That's about it for this week. Don't forget, if you want to hear anything again, go to maxradio.com, download the Spotlight podcast, listen where and when you want. Why not try it whilst out sunbathing naked in your back garden? Just make sure you're not overlooked too much. See you next week. Until then, look after yourselves, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Cheerio.